We are finally rebuilding our country. We fight to build their borders, but we don't fight and spend no money to build our borders. Figure that one out. We're fighting, and we're finally putting America first. And remember the last time I did this, and this started 2.5 years ago when I just started, people were not saying Merry Christmas anymore. The big store chains weren't saying Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. They weren't doing it. They weren't saying Merry Christmas. Now they're saying Merry Christmas again.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm Nate Staley. It's May 23rd, 2018, and this is Off Baseline. On today's special episode, it's looking like it's going to be a very warm and rainy Christmas across the country. Scattered showers, thunderstorms across the Midwest, tropical moisture moving through the Southeast. It's still a little early, but, you know, that's how it feels right now. Only 215 days left to do your last-minute shopping before the big day. We'll take a look at some of the hottest new gadgets and fashions and last-minute gift ideas for him or her. It's Off Baseline's biggest gift guide ever. Speaking of technology gifts, Senate Democrats, hashtag the resistance, might be putting some hashtag money where their mouth is. It looks like they might be able to reverse the net neutrality repeal. We'll look into the history of net neutrality and consider more broadly the sociological implications of the effect internet access has on a society. Kids, NORAD is keeping track of Santa at all times. But especially here in May. You can go to offbaseline.com/Santa Tracker to see where Santa is spending his time as he prepares for his big day. But first, Merry Christmas, everyone. Just feels good to say it again, you know? 8 years of Obama, and I don't know about you, but I definitely got tired of being forced to say Happy Ramadan right as I walked through the JCPenney's door every December. Fortunately, Trump brought back Merry Christmas just in time for the season here in May. And I'm glad that on May 10th in Elkhart, Indiana, Trump, among other brilliant things, reminded us that he legalized our sacred American greeting once again. Well, it's been a rough year, but so glad to welcome in the holidays. We've talked about so many things that we need to worry about on this podcast so far in 2018. Threat of nuclear war, school shootings, poverty, poor treatment of immigrants. And now we're just only just 10 episodes in. I decided to start a podcast at a very depressing time, I guess. Unless things in your life are great and cushy and you have a particularly low view of immigrants, then, you know, you're having fun. Look at you go. But for the rest of us, there's been some highlights too. The president having to scrounge around money to hush a porn star after an affair means that we get to have a brand new set of expectations for our presidents. Be as sleazy as you want. You don't even have to know if Frederick Douglass is alive or not. Just say that you're a Christian and then eat a lot of cheeseburgers, watch you some Fox News, and you too can America. I hope you enjoy Off Baseline's first annual Christmas special. Net neutrality is a seemingly a difficult phrase for people to describe and define, but that doesn't stop arguments and disagreements. While we're talking about a rule that was put in place in 2015 under the Obama administration, the history of net neutrality stems about as far back as mass communication does in America. The 1934 Communications Act, along with other New Deal policies, was a bill to rein in corporations after the Great Depression, specifically to regulate communication companies in a fledgling industry. The first section of the act reads, "For the purpose of regulating interstate and foreign commerce in communication by wire and radio so as to make available, so as far as possible, to all the people of the United States a rapid, efficient, nationwide, and worldwide wire and radio communication service with adequate facilities at reasonable charges for the purpose of the national defense and for the purpose of securing a more effective execution of this policy by centralizing authority, therefore granted by law to several agencies, and by granting additional authority with respect to the interstate and foreign commerce in wire and radio communications, hereby creates a to be known as a Federal Communications Commission, which shall be constituted here and after provided, and which shall execute and enforce all the provisions of this act." Title II laws are basically what net neutrality is. It was definitely the precursor. So Title II in this act is what's called Common Carrier Guidelines. Common Carrier laws basically mean that if a business is being paid to transport goods or people or communication, it is supposed to do so regardless of who or what is being transported or communicated, not prioritizing one person or call or over the other, not charging more for one ethnicity over a person over another. You could say it's agnostic of what is being transported. Railroad companies are common carriers, and so that just means they're not allowed to discriminate based on race, ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation, gender, etc. In 1934, AT&T/Bell, they were just this monopoly in the truest sense, and there wasn't really any competitor at that time. What the 34 Act did, the 1934 Act did, wasn't to break it up like other New Deal policies did with banks, but to classify AT&T as a common carrier, to put rules in place for the telephone monopoly to treat the operation of its lines without discrimination. The Act also forced AT&T to charge fair prices to its consumers and to allow would-be competition to utilize the same infrastructure that AT&T put in place to operate their lines. It's a particularly interesting point for me because on one hand you have people saying, you know, that's too much government control. And on the other hand, this literally allowed people what people perceive to be the benefit of capitalism. Competition between private companies, it allowed for that to even happen in that industry in the first place. So, sometimes things are a bit more complicated. There are other sides to it than we initially perceive. So that sets the stage. Fast forward to the 80s, when the internet was coming onto the scene, becoming more broadly available to people who were just starting to own their own computers, a few of them being capable of accessing the internet. At the time, existing common carrier laws sort of became de facto guidelines for the internet for the logical reason of it using telephone lines through dial-up connections. Though it was, you know, documents and files instead of voices, the medium had not changed itself. Title II common carrier laws applied, and the internet service providers from the start were not allowed to mess with how fast you can download one type of file or data from another, or, you know, charge you more for what content you were downloading at 4 kilobits a second or however fast the internet was in the 1980s. During the 90s, the early aughts, we saw a pretty big shift in enforcement and in consolidation of media and communication companies. Bill Clinton's Telecommunications Act of 1996 provided some deregulatory provisions, basically an apparatus of deregulation that sort of prepped the telecom field for a massive, massive expansion, massive growth, you know, dot-com bubble, and then the turn of millennium, and of course the burst of that bubble, and all sorts of mergers and even more mergers and mergers galore. You've seen those graphics online of how basically six corporations own most every other media outlet or company in the U.S. Regarding wireless carriers, T-Mobile recently bought Sprint, so now we're down to three major carriers for your cell phone service. Both Clinton and the Bush administration, their FCCs were pretty lax on how they responded to regulatory questions and how they enforced compliance with Titles I and II. And in 2002, the FCC chose not to apply historically de facto common carrier laws to high-speed internet, like had been the practice with dial-up internet. So this left the door open for multiple instances throughout the 2000s where companies like Comcast were throttling their customers' broadband speed if they didn't like how they were using it. This particularly came into play with BitTorrents. Oh, we've all had our ups and downs with those guys. Who could forget Kazaa, LimeWire, uTorrent? With another administration change, the FCC passed new regulations to enforce Title II net neutrality rules. And after court battles with Verizon came down very hard and said, we don't want to not be able to charge you more and slow you down. Really hurts that bottom line. And echoed among other companies as well. So, you know, obviously not just Verizon, but all of the four companies. So, you know, back and forth between Verizon and the FCC. And in 2015, a DC court upheld the reclassification that the FCC did of broadband internet service under Title II common carrier rules by the Tom Wheeler-led FCC chair. So now you're mostly caught up to the current debate. It's worth noting that the FCC requires a certain number of both Democrats and Republicans appointed to the commission. And in 2012, President Obama appointed Ajit Pai, a former Verizon wireless executive, as recommended by Mitch McConnell at the time. Fast forward to the Trump administration, and when he was designated as the chairman of the FCC, Pai was designated as the chair of the FCC, he you know, being a long time proponent of repealing net neutrality, perhaps because maybe that has something to do with being a former Verizon executive. Don't want to be too quick to judge there, but that became his priority after being, after getting the promotion and being the chairman over the FCC. So after the repeal was initially approved by a majority Republican House, there was a major public awareness and activism and opposition to the repeal of net neutrality, just kind of something that was bigger than people could maybe activate for in time. You know, there's some fatigue and exhaustion there because there seemed to be a lot of issues at first that the public was responding to and opposing. And in this past week with the Senate, perhaps with Democrats being pushed by the passion of not just their base, but perhaps even some Republicans, independents, libertarians, Greens, and their constituency, who also recognize that despite partisan differences, common carrier laws for the internet are important and beneficial to everyone. Quite a gift for us this Christmas. So we'll see where this thing goes, but we had really all but resigned to this fate. So yes, if the repeal doesn't get reversed now, it's possible in the future. But these issues, as we've seen with our overview, turn into massive political struggles. And despite who is in office, it may take decades to change or have the laws modified. Net neutrality affects people from all professions, from all political and religious beliefs. It even affects therapists. Video therapy is becoming a bigger thing, especially for those in underserved or rural areas. And for example, in 2009, in the general absence of enforcing Title II, Apple was blocking Skype calls from iPhones at the request of AT&T, who wanted to put a stop to workarounds for long-distance calling. More broadly as a society, the increased access to internet, since the 1980s, has reorganized and democratized society through things like equal access to information, increased, ability to find like-minded people and groups and to identify with them and to organize with them. And it's allowed for the redistribution of entertainment and culture, educational, intellectual resources without intermediaries in the way, and not throttling and not setting up different price structures has made this a lot more accessible. This has worked in positive ways. It's also worked in destructive ways. I mean, we can think of the Nazi rally in Virginia a while back, maybe last year. That was a sign that organizing online led to something destructive. But so, you know, it can go both ways, but I think it's clear that the arc of history is bent in a positive way overall and on this issue. And when you allow forces of monopoly, of profiteering, of throttling, creating packages that ultimately makes the whole more expensive under the, you know, the whole thing. Under the marketing of choice. So you're affecting everybody, but you're profoundly affecting the poor, adding barriers to the thing that not only has democratized our access to culture and information, but but has actually become one of the most basic infrastructure of utility from which our society operates. You need internet access to find a job, to communicate with your family, to learn about resources to support yourself, to pay your bills, to find out if a road is closed or if your bus isn't coming. If we allow resources in the public commons to be commodified without oversight, we disadvantage those who likely need it most. And who knows, that might just be you. So there you have it. A little bit of background information, thanks to the internet, about the internet, and how the industry regulation plays a role in how it changes your life and the lives of future generations. I think sometimes, rather than regulation, using that word, I think it's more helpful to use the phrase consumer protection. Definitely applies here. That's all for today. Merry Christmas, everyone. If you're feeling the Christmas spirit, head on over to Off Baseline at our iTunes page and leave a quick review. You can just leave a star review. You can also leave a brief message like Merry Christmas or Good job. You could also say more, but that's up to you. Reviews are small gestures that can have a big impact on show growth. While you're on iTunes, go ahead and hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. And we can also be found on Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. You can also follow me on Twitter at NateKCMO or the show at Off Baseline. And we're on Facebook as well. And that's it. See you next time. Merry Christmas, libs.